Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين. Some serious technical stuff going on with Blog Talk. It's been the case since yesterday, as I say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And actually right now I'm assuming that I am being heard. Brother Mark, I see you. Push one on your phone and if you're hearing me. Okay, so mashallah, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and explain what I am having to do, and hopefully it'll play out the way I'm seeing it. Well, since yesterday, I've been trying to, starting with the Jumu'ah itself, Blog Talk Radio, you know, whatever, dysfunctioned, so it actually didn't record the Jumu'ah to the station. And what happened in consequence of that is when I stood up at the end of it, that's when it started, quote-unquote, recording. So there is no Blog Talk archive recording from yesterday. I also had an alternative recording system that I was using that also connects to the Facebook Live portion. It had its own problems, but the system still records. The system still records my presentation. All right. So then I sought to download that presentation so that I could add it to the studio, the Blog Talk studio, for today's broadcast. And those did not upload. I'm still looking at it. It says that it's processing, and it's been processing since yesterday. So I said, okay, we'll try a new one. So then I tried to upload another one, and it is also now rendering and not going up. And so it doesn't seem like the Blog Talk studio is happening right now. And I mean, literally, it just simply seems to be not happening. So I really don't know what to say, because if nobody's hearing me, there's no sense in trying to do anything. Okay. Call Joel. Okay, if anyone can hear me, push one on your phone. Okay. So Imam Joel, we're on a text. Just let everybody, just in case you are hearing anything, I'm texting with Imam Joel. Now, Imam Joel, what are you hearing now? Okay. All right, great. So my voice has been heard, but apparently you all can't push one in order to respond. So, okay, so we got one half of the equation worked out. So I was explaining earlier. I don't know how much you heard, because there's no real connection. But the bottom line is, obviously, you know, Blog Talk is quote unquote tripping, technically having its issues, and so therefore all the normal stuff that I could have and would have done, I can't do. right now. So what I'm going to attempt to do, now I'm going to stay in touch with Joelle. For those of you online, stay online, because if what I'm talking about doing works, then you will be able to hear what I'm going to play, but I'll have to play it from my computer. And it should be okay. I mean, it should be okay. Actually, I think the audio is actually better than the other qualities of audios that you lose a generation when you put it on the Blog Talk platform anyway. But enough of that explaining. So what I do is I'm going to go ahead and play a recording from my laptop. So it'll be one step removed from direct play. But you'll be able to hear it. If you're hearing me now, you should be able to hear it when I start playing it again. And so we're probably seeing the last days of our Blog Talk presence. We're gonna find out. Okay, we got some hands up here. I think that's my brother Rick. Let's try something else here. Let's see, Rick, if I can hear you. Talk to me.
How you doing this morning? Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Okay, good. So we got a connection. All right. So good to hear from you. I'm a punch out and see if I can make this other thing happen. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Shukran.
Afwan. Yeah, actually, and I'm hearing Rick without your mic is not lit, so but I'm still hearing you. So that's something there. Hey, so now I got to get you out of here. Push one again on yours, Rick, so you can. Okay, thank you. That's good. All right, y'all, let's ride. Let's see what happens here. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rick, I'm gonna need you just go ahead and hang up and call back, because Blog Talk is not turning you off, so I can still hear you in there. So Rick, if you hang up and then call back.
Thank you. His is the kingdom. To him is due all unqualified praise. بيده الخير. In his hand is all good. وهو على كل شيء قدير. And he has power over all things. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله. And we bear open and sound testimony that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. بعضه في الأميين. Allah raised him up from among the unlettered. ورسول منهم يعلو عليهم آياته. A messenger from among them. Oh, my bad. No, I turned you off when I was talking to him. My bad.
Yeah, that was me.
I'm glad to be back. Alhamdulillah. Mubashirin wa munzirin. Commission him as bringers of good news and as one of Rasul minhum, a messenger from among them. Ya'lu alayhim ayati. Who is showing them how to follow the signs of Allah. Wa yuzakihim. And purifying them, where you خرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور, and drawing them out of the darkness into the light. When كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين, while before this they were in open, obvious, and evident strayed. Say, اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد, while I send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, وعلى آله and upon his family, وصحبه and upon his companions, أجمعين. And upon you, O Muslim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, Ibrahim, let me go ahead and tell you something. If this is for a Facebook live feed over here, I think it's just not connected to the internet because I get an error message every time I punch it for it to go live. It's because people out there just want to make sure they get it. I'm trying to make sure it happens too. So in terms of my hotspot is ready, Fahim Shoaib, if you know how to manipulate that iPad to make that happen. If not, it's all good. We're going to keep it pushing. So, but beyond that, if we locked in on the other Facebook, that's good. Are we good? Okay. All right. Forgive the interruption, but I'd rather do this than for people to say, hey, ma'am, I was listening, and then came through, and I'm trying to get away from that. So I'm asking for your forgiveness on that little extra, because there's others out there waiting for it. Now I got to go on. When the wife of Imran said, my Lord, indeed I have pledged to you what is in my womb, consecrated for your service. So accept this from me. Indeed, you are the hearing, the knowing. But when she delivered her, she said, my Lord, I have delivered a female, and Allah was most knowing of what she delivered. And the male is not like the female. And I have named her, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have named her Mary, pardon me, that's the mother saying, I have named her Mary, and I seek refuge for her in you and for her descendants from Satan the rejected. So this is the mother of Mary. She had made the consecration, sadaqallahu alazim, she had made the consecration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that what is in her womb, she dedicates it to his service and for his protection from Satan the rejected. So when she said, my Lord, I'm delivered a female, then there was an apparent hope that it would be a male, thinking that's the best way to serve Allah in that time, in that place, and from her dispensation. Said, but I have a girl, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, he knew best what she delivered. And then Allah says, and the male is not like the female. Hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he narrated that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are four qualities. Whoever is given them has truly been given the best in this world and the next. We know that we're listening to Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we read the report. We're listening to the last prophet of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the messenger of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's telling us this. It's just so, so very, very important for us to concretely take what the Prophet and what the Quran has given us, that is the haq. That is the reality. That is the truth. It's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. It's not a speculation. This is what the creator of the heavens and the earth has said, and this is what the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about whatever it is that we're saying. And we accept the veracity of the report. So listen, when the Prophet said there are four qualities, and whoever is given them has truly been given the best in this world and the next. Do you not make that dua where it says, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابُ النَّارِ? We make that dua from the Quran. And here the Prophet is saying, whoever get these four, they have the best in this world and in the next. So just this hadith alone says, you want to have that dua fulfilled or see that dua fulfilled in your life? If you have these four things, it's fulfilled for you. What are those four things? One is a grateful heart. A grateful heart. I can't help but think there's an age in which we live right now that unfortunately, I won't name a particular group, but you know them if you have any of them. It's like, they're just ungrateful. You don't appreciate what you have? You don't appreciate that nobody owes you that? And if you don't get it, you feel, how can you say, what do you call that when you have to answer? Entitled. You want to see something ugly, see somebody think they're entitled to something that they're not entitled to. I think they call them Karens and others. Forgot the guy's name. I guess it might be Ken. I don't know. So, a grateful heart. So if Allah has blessed you with a grateful heart, a heart that appreciates the smallest thing that somebody does for you, the sacrifice that someone makes for you, and you feel that sense of appreciation and sense of gratitude, and you express that sense of appreciation, you have a heart like that, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Some of us have it, and we kind of like take it for granted. But no, get conscious of it. It's a blessing from Allah that you are appreciative, okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and if you are grateful, I will give you more. Huh? So that's one of those, a grateful heart, and then a remembering tongue that mentions Allah often. Your tongue is, Allah is always on your tongue. Inshallah, mashallah, bismillah, ya Allah, la Allah, 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 alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. So, hey, this is me. Look, me at home. So you've heard the story. I'm going to give you a very, very brief version of it. 1980 Mustang, you know, 1980, you do the math, you know, 43 years ago for me. And so the math says I was a young man in a brand new 1980 Mustang. I thought I had it really going on, right? And this was before they fixed High Street on-ramp, right? That High Street on-ramp was different than the long runway of an on-ramp that you got when you go straight down. You're straight down High Street to get on 880 South, North, 880 North downtown. Got my 1980 Mustang. Rearview mirror, the merge is coming, but it's a short merge. And you know the 880 is the freight elevator for commerce, right? So what's on A80 is just freight truck, you know, Peterbilt, whatever. I got that. Man, I gunned it. There was one of 18-wheelers, what, 18, 16, whatever the number is. That thing hit me. Bam! On the back side of it, spun me sideways. I'm looking at nothing but grill. Wallahi, I'm looking grill. I'm in the... I ain't had time for the whole kalima. I ain't got time for all that. One word I had, only had one word. Allah! And you know, it is true, mashallah, I gotta tell you, it is true. When you're in that situation, everything seems to slow down. Wallahi. The thing hit me, when it first hit me, Allah! Now I'm facing grill. It's called hit me again. Boom! Allah! That's all I had. I'm still here. Mashallah. I'm in the center of the, you know, whatever, freeway. Center divide. And you know how you get in them traffic jams. Man, I got an appointment, man. What's going on? What's all this traffic? You back there 5 miles away, whatever. What's all this? You don't know that there's somebody up there that almost lost their life. You just concerned about making your appointment, right? So when I got out the car, only thing I had to do, I had to come out like AJ Foyt. That's old enough for some of y'all. I had to climb out like I was climbing out of one of the race cars. Door wasn't open, obviously. Came out. I still had a little, you know, mini afro. This light. Glass in my pocket. Glass in my hair. A little bit. Not a scratch. Not a broken bone. And I was more at peace than I was at any other time. I'm looking nothing but traffic as far as the eye can see. But I was, alhamdulillah. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. What did I have? I had one word. Allah. So you can't tell me about the power that's in his name, right? Don't give me another name. That's the name. That's got that for Allah. And so one of the second of these four blessings is to have a tongue that is always mentioning Allah. First, a grateful heart. That's one. Second, a tongue that remembers Allah. And an enduring body. An enduring body. I have, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these past two weekends, one in Los Angeles, another in New Jersey. I'm seeing people who are 80 years old, 90 years old. There's a brother here, I got to ask him today if he's 90. I know he's knocking on the door. He's knocking right at the door and shoot. I look at some of these people that's got them 80s and 90s on them, and I said, man, I pray Allah bless me to get to where you are. With the health and strength and stability and all of that you see in them. I didn't say when I spoke in Los Angeles something I'm going to say right now. And that is, I want to remind us, the soul doesn't get old. Take a minute and think about that. Do you ever feel, I'm talking to the older folks now, do you ever feel like, well, sure, I don't feel no older than that. I'm not talking about your body. Now, your body might say, you can say what it want to say. You know what's going on, but the spirit that you have is like, man, I'm not saying youngster. It's like, what? Wallahi, Allahu A'lam, I'm telling you. Sometimes there have been moments where I said, I didn't recognize, quote unquote, how old I am. Let me get to that number. My 72nd birthday was last Friday. All right? And how many did I have? I'll be lying to me. Okay, so 72, right? But, you know, sometimes there have been occasions when I look up, look in the mirror, and say, man, you look kind of old. You know what I mean? You know, I just say to myself, you know, like, why is that a point? Because I don't feel like I look, like I was looking at that moment, right? I got some improvements to be made, bodily speaking. But in terms of that whole gray and that whole piece and the balding and everything that goes along with that, you know, I have to look and see that to be reminded that this body has aged. But my soul is like, man, what's cracking? You know, it's like, let's go. You know, to Brandon Park. I'm sorry, I gotta put it that way so people are gonna understand that's my spirit. And Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, he said, live by the spirit and not by the calendar. Live by the spirit and not by the calendar. And those of you who are suffering the effects of ageism, that is, you have a conscience that if they're old, they don't know anything. If they've been around like that, they don't understand that. If they're old, you don't need to pay attention to them. That is the exact mistake you don't want to make. Because if that person has been around here for 50 years, longer than you, they got a lot to tell you and to share with you and to inform you about. Lessons that you don't have to wait 50, 60 years to learn if you live that long because you didn't learn the lesson, which you could learn from them and be protected from a loss that if you had just listened, you wouldn't be in the condition that you're in because that old man or that old woman had exactly what you needed to know, but because you thought being young was the way that everything gets handled, that's how you got lost. These old trees around you, they got a lot of fruit on their branches. You need to go into their garden and pick their fruit and get the benefit of that wisdom, and you would advance your life by decades by just taking in a certain type of knowledge. Just one bite of a certain knowledge will serve you for the rest of your life. I'm almost done with this portion. Listen, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, Imam Muhammad was 18 years older than me. He's 18 years older than me, right? So when, quote unquote, whenever I met him, he had those 18 years and without talking about the house that he was raised in. And there are so many others who were his age peers that became my mentors in these 50 years that I've been doing what this is. I learned from all of them, and I honor and respect and hold them in high esteem, right? But I'm saying that's an institutional, let's call it, situation for as far as me, for as far as I am concerned. But I'm saying that's the societal, social situation it's supposed to be. Young people. Get up under some older person that you respect and that you regard and that you have seen that they have held high in honor and respect and esteem. And to the extent that you have access to them, you need to eat as much as you can from them so you don't have to spend decades learning things that their personal experience and knowledge has enabled them to preserve and now have the desire to serve for you. So I'm saying this appreciation, this last thing about appreciation and about the enduring body, I will go ahead and make the fourth one, obviously, I have to. But the enduring body is, there are a lot of things that we have to do in order to achieve in life. And you have to, your body has to be ready for that, right? Excuse me, allow me one sport analogy. Well, you know, did you see what happened between LeBron and Pelicans? You know who I'm talking about. Zion. LeBron, 21 years in the game. 39 years old. Zion, new to the game, at least, what, 19 years younger than him, maybe, let's cut it back, 17, 18, I don't know. but which will have the enduring body? They say, Father Time is undefeated. Billy Brown's giving it a hell of a go. All right? So the point is, Allah has to bless us with an enduring body, because many of the things that we have to face in order to accomplish what we have to accomplish, you have to have an enduring body to do that. Anxiety, stress, so other kinds of challenges that will face your body and that will affect your body. And if your body can't endure the usri yusr of life, then you're not going to be successful in life. But if Allah gives you an enduring body, that's a great, great blessing. Last thing for this hadith. And it's the last thing. And, you know, something sometimes lists in Arabic, sometimes it goes from the most important to the least important, then sometimes it goes from the least important to the most important. But the last one on this list, or rather, and the last one on this list, is a faithful wife. I just have to put it this way as I sit down. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? If you don't have a faithful wife, you should be looking for one. If you have a faithful wife, you should be taking care of her. You should be respecting her in accordance with her nature, which we'll say more about in a moment. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ليس ذكرك الأنثى. Allah says, this is from Surah Al Imran, Ayah 36. I'm going to read this so I can be more succinct and we can be gone. Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah, he once asked and answered the question, how do you know the nature of a thing? How do you know the nature of a thing? He said, the nature of a thing is whatever survives comparison. The nature of a thing is whatever survives comparison. Okay, what's the nature of a cat versus the nature of a dog? Compare the two. Compare the cat, compare the dog. And deal with the attributes of the cat, attributes of the dog. You can start with the physical aspects of it. Everything goes there. I'm not going to go through that. The point is that, and I'm just being a little humorous, but I got to be briefer. You know, the difference may just be meow and woof. That may be all that's left. Everything else we have. But you know that there are differences in the cat. The sensibilities in a dog versus the sensibilities in a cat, even though both of them have fur, both of them have four legs, both of them, most cases, have a tail, you know, blah, blah, blah. So all these different things. So put all the things they have in common, take that away. Leave on the table those things that distinguish them. What you'll be looking at is the nature of a dog and the nature of a cat. Okay? It is, I don't have a word for it right now. I can say it's mind-boggling, I can say it's scary, I can say it's crazy, that this world is not even sure of what a woman is. Can you understand? That's on a college campus. No, university campuses. It's a debate. What is a woman? What has happened? That we live in a world where people with six-figure salaries and tenured professorships, et cetera, and they can't answer the question, what is a woman? But alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The logic of Al-Islam and the approach of it, Allah has already said, Leha dakara kal unta. So whatever those distinctions are, this one is not like that one, right? You can compare them, break it down. Whatever is left, that one is a woman and that one is a man. The nature of the woman, nature of the man. You can call it whatever you want to call it. This is a man. This is a woman. And one of the most potent illustrations of that is this for me. If you take, I hope you know what trans men, what that means, trans men, right? That guy that was competing with the women and the swimming, he's a trans man. That was, all right? So I'm not now. So you know what a trans man is. You take 100 trans men, pardon me, you take 100 women and 10 men, 100 women, I'm talking about bona fide women, what's the right? You take 100 women and 10 men and put them on an island. Nobody but 100 men, 10, 100 women, 10 men. 100 women, 10 men. Put them on an island, nothing else is there. Then come back in 100 years. You'll have civilization, men, women, and children will be on that island 100 years later. Now, take 100 trans men and 10 men and put them on an island. You come back in 100 years, you'll find the bones of 110 men. Do you get that? What is a woman? The one that makes the difference between there being civilization or a graveyard in that situation. And inshallah, as we go on, there are a couple of other steps we have to do. Not today, a couple of other steps that we have to take on this that we simply won't say today. But let's just let it be understood. One analogy. I don't know how far I'm over my time. I didn't set my clock from the start. But I want to make this point because to underscore, brothers, I said it the last time we spoke a couple of weeks ago, women as like everything else in creation, women are a sign. Women are a sign. Everything is a sign. Every natural thing that Allah created is a sign. We cover that. I'm really eager for us to really understand. We have to study. We have to study ourselves, men, sure, men and women. We have to study ourselves. But when it comes to civilization, ummah building, community building, building the foundation for ummah, which is the master task, men, we need to understand our women better than we do. We need to understand their nature. Not that she want to have this bill paid, she want to drive this kind of car, she want to live in this kind of residence. But no. We need to understand her nature in general and in particular and act accordingly. And what I'm saying to you, Allah has revealed this to us. Allah has given this information to us. And we personally need to understand that we have to study our women, abstract the reality of their, an understanding of the reality of their nature, and then act accordingly. We got to stop doing so much guessing about this or that and the other. No. The more you know and the more you act on what you know, the more that peace and tranquility and stability and growth and progress comes out of your relationship. If it's not doing that, it's because of the absence of what I'm talking about. That's the only thing that's missing. It's the absence of what I'm talking about. And so when you raise that up, if I put it in language of credit scores, right? You know how to raise your credit score in terms of your knowledge about your woman, quote unquote, and then that benefit starts flowing from her, and naturally. She can't even help it. Once you start doing what you're supposed to do as a man, your manhood just pulls it out of her. I'm not joking. But it comes from knowing and acting on what you know that is true to that nature. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Allah, we thank you for your graces, your blessings. Allah, protect us from our weaknesses and shortcomings. Allah, guide us to the best. Allah, purify us in our hearts and our spirits and our thinking. Allah, bless us to seek your guidance, to follow your guidance, to be open to your guidance. Allah, purify us in every way. Allah, we are completely weak. We have no aid, no assistance but from you. Without your help, we are completely lost. Without the power that you grant us, we are completely powerless. If you don't feed us, we don't eat. If you don't protect us, then we die. Oh, Allah, help us. We beg this if you only for none can grant and hold us but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa akum as-salam.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa Bismillahir Rahman Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Our journey continues on the subject of the woman and also on the subject of what's going on Blog Talk Radio. So I'm about to start the, I'm doing it right now, start the live feed from Facebook and YouTube. So we're going to see what happens. So, I mean, you always, I'm starting with a little trepidation because of the way that Blog Talk has been behaving in the last 24 hours. But hopefully you are hearing me. What happened earlier when Brother Rick had chimed in and he checked out, he had difficulty getting back in. Hopefully you can chime in and not have those problems. But yes, we're going to try to go as normally as we would. And so that means I begin by asking you to push one on your phone if you have comments that you want to make. Pardon me, to start off, push one, see what happens. Hopefully I can hear you. I'm not seeing any ones, so that may be a not so good sign. Okay. Those of you who are trying to do that, it's not working. Not working. Okay. So those of you who can, who are online, you can go to Facebook and type in your question, comment, or what have you. I do have to pay due regard and respect to my brother Mark, who I know is visually challenged, and I expect him most often to be among the first to have comments. So, Brother Mark, I see you, and I understand the difficulty, and you are actually the first one to this morning's broadcast before it started. So, mashallah, I don't know what we can do for you, my dear brother. If you figure something out, let me know. Otherwise, if you have comments that you'd like to make or questions that you'd like to ask, you can go over to Fahim Shuaib and Imam Fahim Shuaib Facebook, and also you can go to YouTube, Imam Fahim Shuaib on YouTube, and I have my comment section open, so you can type in a question or comment. Alhamdulillah, Dashan, Assalamu Alaikum, Rahmatullah, Brother Rick, Raphael, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Willie Kelly. Assalamu alaikum. You kind of too young to drive, ain't you, bro? So also, you know, comments and questions are welcome. And we are going to go on and add some additional information since, mashallah, it's a one-sided kind of thing this morning. Given that Blog Talk is not letting people, again, I can't even recommend hanging up and going out because, as Brother Rick's experience was, they wouldn't let you back in. So, if you want to have a comment, because I'm going to have to go on with content for this morning. So, if you'd like to make a comment or a question, then I recommend you go over to Imam Fahim Shuaib Facebook or Fahim Shuaib Facebook, those are two different pages, and or you can go to YouTube on which we're broadcasting live. So I'll try to keep my eye on both of them just in case something changes, but otherwise. It just has to be one of the lessons where it's kind of one-way instruction this morning. Thank you for your patience and your presence. Switch up here. Okay. Okay, so Diane says she just got in after many attempts. Now, does that mean that you got in you just sort of, can you push one on your phone and see if I can see you? Brother Rick, I see you with your hand up. I'm going to get to you. I'm trying to see if anybody else can get in. All right, Rick, let's give it a shot and then see what happens.
Assalamu alaikum, my brother. The reason I was I was just letting you know that I was
turn
that
your,
I could
turn your
hear
speaker
you.
Off. Turn the speaker off behind you. Turn the speaker behind you.
Okay? Oh, just a minute here. I got you up on my pad. Hold on. Okay, now. What about now?
Okay, you're good. I mean, for as
okay,
far as
no.
I'm concerned.
I was just letting you know that I was back in and I could hear you. That's the reason I was pushing the one to let you know that I was logged on to you. But again, excellent football. Excellent. I can't compliment you enough, but I'm here for you, and I'm here with you.
Alhamdulillah. Appreciate you. Alhamdulillah. All right. All right, Sister Bina, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. So, wonderful. I'm go ahead and take this speaker out. Let's see. I have so many bells and whistles here. Okay, Rick, I think I'm going to need you to do the same thing. See if you can go out and get back in because I'm still hearing you on the other side. All right, so go on out and come back in, Rick, or just mute yourself if you can't hang up. Or if you don't want to, because it's possible not getting back in. But let's get to some content. I have to, because the only thing I can really do right now is we have to make a contribution under the circumstances. I'm very sensitive to people who are facing matters around what we're talking about, both as married people, as people with children who have chosen alternative lifestyles. It's real. It's just a reality, okay. All I can say is that everybody who hears this and who's aware of it, I'm being very. It's advocacy, but it's quote unquote khutbah, even more so than da'wah, right? Khutbah is actually talking about prescription, right? It's talking about prescription. It's talking about a particular kind of knowledge. Actually, khutbah is a word that actually refers to conference-level presentations. That's really, I mean, khutbah is supposed to be prescriptive, and it's supposed to be thoughtful in the context of the content that's delivered. It's not a feeling session. It's not a emotional session. That's why if a khutbah, you know, we're talking about Jummah, if a khutbah, for example, gets too emotional, too undisciplined on whatever basis, then it starts losing its identity as a khutbah. It's supposed to be concrete, sound information. Yes, khutbah is to be a reminder in that sense, and just that to give your mind back, right? Put your mind back, because there are many things that happen in the world cause us to lose our mind, and it don't take a week for a person to lose their mind. So I have to say. These things in order to deliver the prescription in a way that's it. And I know that it's a challenge for different people, but it's the reality. I want you to think about, even as I say these things, you have to think about Noah's son. In fact, I think there's some reports that it's like Noah's, like his whole family wasn't in order with him. I have to go back and search that a little more. We know about Lot's wife, right? And we know about Noah's son, and we know about El-Chizuk, which is the name that tradition gives, the one that Moses met where the two rivers crossed, or where the two rivers met, El-Chizuk, we know that one of his first acts, one of his acts after scuttling the boat, is that he killed the boy. He killed the boy. And we know that the reasoning that was given to us in the Quran, not the reasoning, that just the statement as to explaining what happened, was that the child that was killed was a shame on the parents, and Allah is going to replace that one with another and a better child. So the point is that the things that we're facing in our homes, in our communities, in our masjids, it's in the masjid. There are things that we wish weren't happening in the masjid, but are happening. It doesn't necessarily have to be an epidemic scenario, but it can be a situation where, oh, and he's a Muslim, oh, and she's a Muslim. And it can be between adults and from adults and by adults, and it can be from and by and through their offspring, our children, and that bring a disappointment to us in our consciousness when we think about, I talked about ingratitude, right? You know that was, you could tell by what I said, I believe, that, you know, sometimes children are just ungrateful. I mean, they're ungrateful, right? I'm not suffering this in any kind of special way right now, but I'm not pushing myself out of it. There are moments where I do feel and I do see that our children have shown ingratitude to their mother, particularly. I don't know. See, that's the male female thing. It's like, you Papa don't take no mess or whatever it is. It's but again, you gotta keep that in right condition. Because the point is, like, fathers deal with, you know, the whole children and relationships and all of that much differently. Like right now, five of our grandchildren are over here right now, and it's like they're beautiful, but they're also challenging. But all of these are sub teenagers. They're all, the oldest one I think is 8. So they are. It's when you start hitting those teens and betweens, that's when the feces hits the fan, in a manner of speaking. I'm gonna move on because we could spend a lot of time there. I do have to say this. There's a saying. It's not an Islamic saying, but it's from some philosopher, psychologist that it resonates with me. And you can look it up to find out. Well, who is it that said that? But I think in relative terms, it's true that every family is sick own way. Okay, so I've been told that you just lost me. Let's see. I'm going to try not to go on if this stuff is going in and out. Facebook Live. Okay, so I'm here. I'm on YouTube. Facebook folks, okay. Bina says that I can hear you both on the web and Facebook Live. We're very clear on this end. Facebook Live. Okay, Daya saying no sound. Okay, so it seems like the Blog Talk piece is going out. Okay. Well, okay. Daya, are you hearing me now, Daya? I know you just texted me that there's no sound, but Daya, text me if you're hearing me right now. Well, I guess you would if you hear me. If you don't hear me, then you won't. All right. Blog Talk, I'm sorry, y'all. I don't know what I can do. I don't know what I can do. Don't know what I can do because I can't tell you what to do if you're on Blog Talk because you can't hear me. And I'm taking up this time for Facebook Live and the like. I have to push on. MashaAllah. So I just got to push on. All right. Going on with that. So Facebook, so Blog Talk, this has to be my last thing right now. If the Blog Talk folks, hopefully it gets worked out, you can come over to Facebook Live, YouTube Live. In fact, there's so much frustration on Blog Talk for all of us that I'm gonna go ahead and cut out a Blog Talk. So it's like then you kind of like you have to catch us on the other end and go for that. Let me see if I can get some convo from 918. Can you hear me? 510-918. All right, so MashaAllah, I'm Xing out Blog Talk. It's just gone. It's just got to go. Assalamu alaikum. Hopefully, don't catch me another one. All right, so MashaAllah, we just had to cut out our Blog Talk, folks. Okay, so now it's purely Facebook Live. It's purely Facebook Live. All right, now. Cut, new beginning, new material. Alaysa zakara kala untha, where Allah says, and the male is in no wise like the female. Now, I use the description where Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayh, where he said that if you want to understand the nature of a thing, the nature of a thing is whatever survives comparison, whatever survives comparison. And in the khutbah, we use the cat and dog analogy. When you look at the cat and the dog, you know, cat has four legs, dog has four legs, cat has fur, dog has fur. In other aspects that the cat and the dog have in common, even when you talk about a reproductive system, doesn't matter male or female in terms of this analogy, it's like that analogy is such that, okay, they have those two things in common, reproductive system, okay, so that's they're not different in nature in that regard. So the point is that you eliminate all the things that they have in common and whatever is left is the nature of that. So you start thinking about things that cats do and things that dogs do by nature, that a cat naturally does this and a dog naturally does that. And then you compare those things. And when you compare how a cat, now let's deal with this, for example. Everybody knows about you drop a cat from basically any height, then cat's going to land on its feet. That's just what cats do. You drop a dog, you can't have that same expectation. So that's a distinction in the nature of a cat, nature of a dog. When you start talking about, you know, dogs and their sense of smell and the like, right? I think we can take it intuitively that the dog's sense of smell is stronger than the cat's sense of smell, though cat's sense of smell, no doubt, as with most animals, is strong. So enough of that. So the point is that the distinction between two things is whatever survives comparison, that is their nature. So I gave the analogy for the if you take 100 women and 10 men, put them on a deserted island, come back 100 years later, and you have a form of civilization and men, women, and children. That's what's on that island, right? If you start out with 100 women and 10 men, right? But if you take 100 trans men, what do you call them, transsexuals or whatever, those, you know what they are, those say, I am a woman, right? Those, right? The transsexual, so the trans men, so you take 100 trans men and 10 men, okay, put them on the deserted island, come back 100 years later, and you're going to find the bones of 110 men, right? It's not going to be, it's like when the archaeologist or whoever is looking at these bones, it's not going to say this one was a trans man and this one was a man, right? No, they were always men. They were always men. And what is the separating feature? What's the separating feature? And alhamdulillah, it is in the word. It is in the word. The separating feature is the womb. That's the separating feature, the womb, you know, quote unquote, the uterus, right? Man doesn't have a womb, a uterus. I don't care. All the cosmetics, literally, all the cosmetic surgery, cosmetic hair, poop, pop, all of that. What did it have? The first trans on Sports Illustrated. What, man. Okay? So, don't matter. Take all them. Put them on that island too. All right? 100 years later, it ain't going to be no Sports Illustrated cover. It ain't going to be nothing. It's going to be the bones of 110 men. Right? So look at the word. Look at the word. It's critical. Woman, right? Imam Muhammad started us out with man is mine and woman is womb of mine, right? So the beginning of the word itself is womb. 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 If you don't have a womb, you're not a woman. Is the debate. If you don't have a womb, you're not a woman. Don't go anywhere with that. Don't go, well, what about? Stop. Don't do that. Because you're in the spider's web if you want to try to have that. There is no what about. If you don't have a womb, if you don't have a uterus, you are not a woman. And look at the word. Imam Muhammad said, Rahimullah alayhi, he said again, wherever there's a silent letter, there's a secret. There's a silent letter, there's a secret. Now, if I say, and I point you back again to this guy, Gallagher, comedian. Just look him up online, Gallagher, and you'll see his act was all about the kind of funniness of the English language and the words. So, One of them that could be used in his act is this one right here, woman, right? He said, well, then how do you say W-O-M-B? How do you say W-O-M-B? So then people would say womb, womb, right? Okay, then put up another word and say, well, how do you say this? W-O-M-B-A-N. How do you say that? You don't say womb-ban, that would be the joke. Right? It's not womb ban because you said it was womb. But if I spell it W-O-M-B-A-N, womb ban, you see that's not the correct pronunciation based on what W-O-M-B says. W-O-M-B says womb. Okay, so then W-O-M-B-A-N would be woman. Would be woman. So what is the essence of woman? The womb. But what's the? That's the secret. Wherever there's a silent letter, there's a secret. That's the secret. The secret is the womb. come on. And you could spend the rest of your life literally just dealing with just that fact, because the womb is one of the sacred things that will be at the throne on the day of judgment. The womb. That's how powerful, important, significant, valuable that particular nature is, right? So the whole idea of the sacredness, the sanctity, the high level of the womb and those who carry it. There's a joke that I can't tell. I couldn't tell on this platform. Y'all be checking into Dave Chappelle. He's a Muslim, and he admits himself. I didn't say I was good at it. He did an interview with Dave Letterman about how he became a Muslim. And but then he said, I didn't say I was good, but I was good at it. No, he said, I didn't say I was good at it. So he know that he off base on certain things, but he's also a satirist, right? And being a satirist, you kind of make the decision what price are you going to pay in order to deliver your political commentary. And there's some things that you can't say as a strict politician. That you can say as a comedian or as an entertainer. So that's a choice. You remember Dick Gregory, Rahim Allah, and there's some others that I'm thinking about now. I see them in my mind who were making political commentary. George Carlin is another, I was thinking about Belalian. Moving on. So the idea of woman and the secret of that, I mean, that's the answer of what is a woman, right? That capacity, that potential, that capability. And you don't have to, have given birth to a child in order to claim that. Label, that title, that distinction, you have that anyway. All right. So I have to give this illustration because it's just the nature of where we are right now. And when we talk about what is the difference, let me say this. I'll be, inshallah, in Philadelphia this upcoming weekend, the weekend of 22nd to the 24th. And it's all about marriage, relationships, male, female, and getting to the intimacy aspects of it and the like. Sorry, I don't have the full scaling of it, but I'll be doing I'll be the khatib for the Jummah at Masjid Allah in Philadelphia this Friday, and there are like four different pieces for me. And my apologies. There's a sister who's well known for her presentations in this area. Sorry, don't have her name, but she's very well noted. In my understanding, I look forward to meeting her. Any case, so that's FYI. These kind of things are on the agenda. Right. So Friday, there's stuff to, going on Saturday, and then Ta'aleem on Sunday. So inshallah, I'll see you at Masjid Allah in Philly next weekend. It will be a great blessing. Now, okay. Here's something to think about, because we're inside the subject. What is a woman, right? We have to respect the fact that problems in the nature of the society. Did I make that statement that every family is sick, but in its own way? I know I was aiming at that in the midst of all the other things that were going on. There's a philosopher, a social scientist, who said every family is sick, but in its own way. So we all have problems in our families, all of us. There is nobody. Now, my family is good. Somebody could be hiding something. from you. You don't have to go looking for it. It'll show up soon enough. If you are one that could even attempt to say, we don't have no problems in our family. Okay. Inshallah, I'm not saying it's not possible that somebody can just, I'm not aware of any problems. But, so I'm not going to pursue that further. I concur with the thought and the statement that every family is sick, but in its own way, right? And surely some families are sicker than others. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're trying to drive this condition or if they are really just telling the news. But I've seen so many headlines that are absolutely hideous. And these are on mainstream. You used to expect these kind of things from the Inquirer, you know, those grocery store tabloids kind of thing. You used to expect that. I don't even know if those are around anymore because it's like everything's been, craziness has been mainstreamed. So, like, you know, what grandparents have done to their children, what mothers have allowed their boyfriends to do to their children. Absolutely insane. But I'm quite sure that it's fitting where the Quran talks about, and the camel will drop her child unformed or something to that, in that regard. I'm not a hostage and I don't play one on TV either, but you can find something like that in the Quran. I know it because it's talking about the last days. When it's talking about the last days, and Allah uses the scriptures to say, this is how crazy it's going to be. And a part of it is the neglect of the unformed. So you can start talking about abortion. You can start talking about the crazy relationships that are being fostered in this society. Okay. And one of the things that I want us to understand, because it's true, Allah has a natural pattern that things are supposed to follow. There's a natural flow, a natural form, a natural, even call it a mechanistic, a meshing of nature that's supposed to happen. There's a nature in human beings at a certain age, and as that age transitions, as that age moves on, then there are changes that happen, just like we talk about tadpoles to frogs, et cetera. Same way with human beings, as these things evolve. But since we are social creatures, and since we are social creatures, then a part of the dynamic of what delivers whatever is delivered in human situations is the nature of the relationships, وَتَقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْأَرْحَامِ, the nature of the relationships, and God also says in the Quran, and the mystic tie between parent and child. So there is a meta design. Let's put it like that. There's a meta design. There's a format. There's a track by nature, but it's abstract. But that it's there for us when Allah says, "Zalika dinu qayyima," that is the religion, right and straight. So the pattern for our religion, Din al-Fitr, 3030, Din al-Fitr, the pattern for our way is pattern in nature. It's pattern in nature. Now, when we are born as human beings, then we start into that, okay, I have to call it a web of potential possibilities, et cetera. And there's one, al-Islam. There are many ways of being, right, in the world. Then Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that he has preferred for you al-Islam as a way of life. So when you take al-Islam and overlay it and make that your plan, make that your map, make that the recipe that you want to follow, then the idea is you have to get on track with that map, with that recipe, with that overlay. It's, okay, well, I have to do this way because I'm here, and I have to do that way because I'm there. Now, that has to be done by everybody involved in the life, right? Okay, so let me keep it as simple as I possibly can. I think it's like, okay, so you have this one who calls himself a Muslim man, and you have this one who calls herself a Muslim woman. Okay, so then there's a track that the Muslim man is supposed to be on, and there's a track that the Muslim woman is supposed to be on, irrespective of whatever. It's like they've never met each other. It don't matter. He's a man, Muslim man. She's Muslim woman. I'm just dealing with the ideal right now. All right, there's a way that he's supposed to be. There's a way that she's supposed to be. Don't matter. They never met each other. You know, doesn't matter. But he says he's a Muslim. Okay, well, here's your recipe. Here's your blueprint. Here's your playbook, right? Okay, Muslim woman. Okay, here's your recipe. Here's your plan. Here's your playbook. You never met each other. But then when you meet each other, you know, you don't pull out different books. You don't pull out different books. You like the Muslim man uses the playbook for the Muslim man, and the Muslim woman uses the playbook for the Muslim woman. It doesn't matter who he is. Doesn't matter who she is. The fact is that you're supposed to be Muslim. That's what you say. So then that's the book that you're supposed to be reading from, acting on, the plan you're supposed to be following. Okay, when you do that, then okay, things are well. Doesn't mean you're not going to have to make some adjustments. I always use this analogy: car, C-A-A-R. C-A-A-R. C is commitment. So when you make that commitment, that means you got married, right? That's a commitment. Adjustment doesn't matter. You never met him. You never met her. You never lived together. Okay, you live together. Okay, well, there's certain adjustments that are going to have to be made because you're not living by yourself now. You're living with somebody else, so you have to make some adjustments. All right. So the adjustments. Okay, if you make the adjustments, okay, now you advance because now individual playbook come together. Everybody's reading from the same book. Everybody acting in accordance with what's been drawn up for them. That's sports. That's what's been drawn up for them, and then you're living like that. Okay, fine. So that's progress. Now you make the adjustments, right? But now what happens if you can't make the adjustments? If you can't make the adjustments, then you have to do assessment. And you know, and you want to know whether you're in the adjustment period or you're in the assessment period. It doesn't matter about how many days or how many weeks, months, years you've been married. All you have to do is ask yourself one question. Have you ever had to ask yourself, I wonder if I made the right decision in terms of marrying this man or marrying this woman? Whenever it was that you said that, that's a sign that you're in the assessment period. And the assessment is like you're going to, I can say, take inventory on what's in the past and on what is present and what the possible future is going to be if this don't change, whatever quote unquote this is. If this don't, okay, you're in the assessment period. Now, what comes in consequence of that assessment, you'll know when it's over because you will either have, you come to the R, right? You've either recommitted or redirected, right? You either recommitted or redirected. Either it's like, okay, recommit. Okay, let's go back to the front. Let's start all over again. That is, let's try to make it happen, okay? Now you're back at the front. But if redirect, it's like, okay, well, then you separate it. You're going in your separate directions, right? So that's it. So I can't go over the whole track of it because I'm just trying to get to the point where when the Muslim man acts the way that Muslim man should act. That is, he follows the blueprint that Allah has given. When the Muslim woman acts and follows the blueprint that Allah has given for her, and each one acts with each other in accordance with how the blueprint says you should interact with each other, right? And of course, you bring the life model of Prophet Muhammad. You bring that into, and you live it out. It's like marriage is quote unquote practice. Also, you know, it's like, okay, we got to practice. You got to practice. Whatever it is, I don't feel like being patient with you. Well, you need to practice. Practice being patient. Practice being forgiving. Practice being grateful. Practice being this, that, and that. And if you do that long enough, then that's when that thing called love really shows up. It shows up, but it shows up after years of service with each other in accordance with the playbook, if you'll allow me to use that analogy. All right. So, I mean, if you elaborate all of this, bring children into it. When the child comes into the equation, and I know I'm talking ideal. I'm talking Muslim man, Muslim woman. So I'm talking ideal. Yes, everybody's life is some kind of variation on that theme. But you need to know what the ideal is first, and then you can understand, you know, okay, how does my stuff differ? And know this, even though we can't cover all of this today, but know this, that even though you may have your particular distinction where, okay, well, I married him. I married her when she wasn't a Muslim. I'm married to him and he's not a Muslim. Or I married to her before she was a Muslim. She became Muslim after we got married, blah, blah, blah. We were boyfriend and girlfriend before we became Muslim. Everybody's got their variations on that. MashaAllah. But Al-Islam got an answer for you. Al-Islam has an answer for you. But you have to go get your answer. Like, You have to go get your answer. That means, what does Al-Islam have to say about this, that, and that, and that? And every adjustment that needs to be made inside of that, yes, you got to ask that next question so that you can get down to what your particular situation is. And then you can find, and by Allah's guidance and grace, he will tell you what you need to do exactly. And of course, sometimes there are people who say, oh, I wouldn't do that. Well, yeah, you wouldn't because you're not me. Right? So it's like, let's move on. Let's get past that. So, but in the ideal, you have, so marriage, children, parenting is tarbiyah. And inside of that word tarbiyah, which means education and parenting, inside of that is cultivation, the role, and also is telling us how close that role is, how really I'll use sacred rather than divine, the sacred role. And the Quran talks about and the mystic tie between parent and child. That's Allah is telling you. It's like that tie between parent and child, it is much more than we think. But Allah reveals that's the case. And so parenting is called tarbiyah. So it's a cooperation of that, of the parents with Allah's plan. Allah is Rabbil Alameen. He's the guardian, evolver, cherisher, and sustainer. He's the one that gives everything it needs in the measure and in the manner that is needed at the time that it's needed in order for it to move from its simple to its most complex state. That's what Rabbil Alameen does. Parents are the agents of the Rabb, Tarbiyah. They are the agents of the Rabb. Parents work for God when they do it right. If you don't do it right, then you're not really working for God. And sometimes, you know, Lord have mercy on us. I'm going to say it that way. It's like the firstborn, by the grace of Allah, it's like if they turn out to be all right in any measure, it is purely by the grace of Allah. Because most of us, certainly in my age group, maybe it's a little bit different for the second generation of Muslims right now. Maybe they might have a little better take. Not all of them. That's clear to me. But they have a certain level of conscious parenting knowledge. Some of them, those who embrace it, they have a level of conscious parenting knowledge that we didn't have as FOI, MGT, even though we were being given good teaching in that respect. But there were so many other things in the real world that we really didn't have it straight. So when we have children that were born to us, and especially when it comes to that transition, when you get into that transition, if they were born in between the 75 and the 70, 79-ish period of time. It's like we have to make dua for them, and we have to ask for forgiveness from Allah. This is just Fahim talking. So I was like, oh man, that's your stuff, man. I'm good. Okay, like, praise be to Allah. But for me, it's like my daughter that's with me on Mondays, right? She was the firstborn. And alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed her, favored her and me and us, you know, to, you know, that's where she, it's no boast. I'm trying to be personal without being personal in that sense. And the point is I'm trying to get us to understand that yes, all of us have these different permutations in our lives. And that's the way that our life happened. That happened. And Allah tries us in life in all the various different ways that we're tried. But God doesn't change. The religion doesn't change. Our nature doesn't change. The universe doesn't change. So all we need to do is figure out what is the reality of my circumstance relative to the plan and the design of Allah, right? And if after you do your own personal diagnosis, you say, man, I missed a big window back here. Man, if I had known then what I know now, I would have, okay, but you didn't. You didn't. So what can you do? Listen, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلَّ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجَهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَهُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. It says, nay, whosoever submits his whole self to Allah and is a doer of good, on such shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. Right? Also, Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْعَامَلَ. He is the one who created the death and the life to try which of you is best in conduct. Life is a trial. Life is a trial. And we're always struck by things that we didn't plan, we couldn't predict, and that challenge us. Are you going to do this? Or are you going to do that? Sometimes we do the right thing. Sometimes we do the wrong thing. Sometimes we consciously do the wrong thing. Sometimes we unconsciously do the wrong thing. Sometimes we do the right thing, but we do that right thing unconsciously. It's like there's so many different ways that things could have happened in our life, mashallah. And it's, I'm taking you back to the statement, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَهُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Here's the thing. Once you submit, you submit to Allah and say, God, you know, had I known this, I would have done that. But I didn't know that. And it happened. Oh, Allah, forgive me, protect me from this thing that I've done, and protect anyone who's affected by what I did or did not do. MashaAllah, you have to submit to Allah. You have to submit to Allah. Allah is the creator of everybody, and whatever needs to be fixed in whatever situation, if it's Allah's will, Allah is going to fix it. And if you want Allah's blessing upon you for that to be fixed, then ask Allah for it. Just ask Allah for it. And if it's Allah's will, then he'll do it. Listen, remember Noah's son, right? But no, he said, ask God. Oh, God, my son. God told Noah, and this is for us to recognize, it could be our situation too. God told Noah, said, he's not your son because his behavior is not like yours. And see, when it comes back to the womb and when it comes back to the woman and it comes back to the mystic tie between parent and child, women have the hardest of times because, and we haven't even talked about Alam Nashra Laka Sadra, the Usra Yusra, and what that has to do with the operating room and what that has to do with, you know, labor and delivery. But there is something that Allah has, that he does in every labor and delivery. Allah actually releases hormones and neurochemicals that are designed to make the woman put her interest after the child is. This is before the baby comes out of the womb. Allah releases a hormone, a chemical, into the consciousness of the mother who is struggling to get this baby out, but Allah has already given her a chemical predisposition to care more for the child that's coming out of her womb than her own self. That's what God did in it. So it is very, very hard, if not impossible, for a woman, a mother, to separate herself from any of her children, no matter what that child, excuse me, no matter where that child is on the scale of whatever. I don't care. Drugs, jail, whatever, alternative lifestyle, whatever. It's like, that's my child. I'm talking the mother. That's my, but Allah, mashallah, Allah has made it such that men don't feel, he just be real, this stuff, don't show front. Men don't feel that same connection because you can't. You can't. We could talk about so many things. Whatever you paid the biggest price for, that's what you value the most. You feel that? If you had to pay a big price to get something, you're not going to turn away from that in any kind of easy kind of way. Mothers, women, right? See, every child that exits her womb, she paid a near-death price. And actually, think about this, too. When a woman decides to have a baby, I know we have, you know, different ways that babies are delivered now, but we're talking about original, what do you call it? Look, I'm not in your personal stuff anymore particularly, but it's like vaginal birth. That's what I'm talking about in terms of this, vaginal birth. When a woman decides to get pregnant and carry that child to term, she's actually saying, I'm willing to face possible death because I know what is going on. Men have, we have no idea. I heard a joke. I did hear a joke. Whatever. Come on, we're grown ups here. It's like the only thing that might be closer is that you try to push a basketball out of your urethra. Let's put it like that. That's the best way I can clean it up. Try to pull a basketball. Where you think that's going to feel like? No. So I'm saying the mystic tie between parent and child is much more so with the woman and the offspring that come from that. So the things that happen, that is in the midst of this trial of life, in the nature of the trials of life, that, and especially when it comes to the offspring, it hits the woman much more harder than it hits the man for all the reasons that I'm expressing. All right. So now, when you have the man, the woman, they come together, they give birth to a child, tarbiyah, they're supposed to educate the child, education in the sense of drawing out of the child the nature that Allah has put in the child, because they're cultivating. The parents are the cultivator, tarbiyah, they are the deputies, let's call it, of Allah's plan for humanity, right? There's a dua in the Quran that says, Qur. رَبِّ رَحَرْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَيَانِ صَغِيرًا. It says, say, means telling the believer. The believer is, well, oh, I got to get back to no fear, no shall they grieve. But it says, say, God's given the dua. He says, say, O Allah, have mercy on them, even as the two of them nurtured me, رَبَيَانِ, the two of them nurtured me when I was small, because that's the job of parenting. Tarbiya is rabbiya, to cultivate that new life so that it can reach the destiny that Allah has put in it. Going back to the issue of la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun, I'm saying this because there's so many ways that we can get depressed, we can get anxious, we can feel so bad mentally and emotionally thinking about what we think we should have did, could have did, might have done, what we think is our fault, but we're not sure it was our fault. But then, because you can even have, you know, children, for example, that blame you unjustly. You know, unjustly. Like, yeah, you did this. And that happens. And there's nothing necessarily that you can do about them to disabuse, I believe the language is, disabuse them of that misperception. So, okay, I'm saying all that to say, whatever configuration is in your life, whatever is the nature of your situation, no matter how complex it seems, no matter how difficult it seems, it's not like it never happened to anybody ever. Excuse me. Whatever's happening, whatever happens is happening to us. Okay, well, that's your life. MashaAllah. I mean, I know I'm kind of hitting it in a way that's good, like, you know, it's that simple. Well, in a manner of speaking, it is, but if you're living in a situation, it's hard for you to if it is hard for you to say, it's simply because you have not, well, me talking, you have not embraced the fact that it's like, why should whatever's happening in your life be happening in your life? I mean, what rule is there? I talked about entitlement, right? What rule is there in life that says I shouldn't be going through this? Okay, show me the book. Show me the receipt. Show me somewhere where it says you shouldn't be going through this. What? You got a coupon or something that says this should never happen to me? Like, no. Everybody got stuff. Every family got stuff. The blessing is that God is. God is God. Allah is God. It's like, and he don't change. And he said, you know, they ask you, you know, when comes the help of God? You say, the help of God is always near. The help of God is always near. I mean, just think about it. You have to forget that in order to have fear and grief. You have to forget that. You have to have put that in a lower place in your reality, such that that is replaced now by fear and grief, anxiety and grief. No two things can occupy the same space at the same time. Thoughts are things. You can't think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that you should think of him, in his attributes of excellence and reality. You can't think of him and at the same time think being in a state of anxiety and grief. One has displaced the other. When you have anxiety, you're fearing something in the future. Anxiety. Grief, you are lamenting something in the past. Right? Anxiety, what's going to happen? You're fearing something in the future. Grief, you're lamenting something in the past. The present. So if you use your time and your mind and your consciousness to entertain what you think might happen in the future and what you think that's going to be, then you're occupying your present time with something that hasn't even happened and may not actually happen. But then Allah's invitation is he's in charge of everything. And what's going to hit you is going to hit you. And what's going to miss you is always going to pass you by. It's like Allah is in charge. In fact, in Arabic, the future tense is called the imperfect tense. So that hasn't even happened. Perfect tense, past tense, right? So grieving over something that has happened, that's already happened. That's not going to change. So grieving about something that you cannot change in the present, what's happening to your life in the seconds and the minutes and the hours that go by while you're focused on something that is past and that can't be changed, and you're feeling bad about it, and your life, you're going through your life in the present moments that you have, but you have put inside of the vessel of your present grieving about something that has already passed that you can't change. So what is your life then? What is your life at that moment, right? I'm trying to give you some things to think about. Allah is mashallah. Allahu alam. Allah has decided this is what the subject is to today. Mashallah. So in terms of that, I want to direct you. Oh mashallah. I'm saying oh mashallah because that surah Ali Imran, which is with the two verses 35 and 36, were the foundation of our conversation for Jumu'ah. And there's so many others that I've seen since. And now the one that I'm talking about right now, Surah 3, basically you go from 139 to 149, at least there. But once you get started, you'll see what I'm saying. Wow. What I'm talking about right now, that surah and those verses, spend some time with that surah and those verses. If you are in this time trying to figure out, man, what's going to happen? What is happening? What can I do? Oh, my God. I mean, if you're in that kind of situation and you consider yourself a Muslim at striving to be a believer, think about your situation in the context of those verses. One part of that section, it says, days of varying fortune do we give to men and men in turn to try which of you is best, right? So God talks about, yeah, we have martyr witnesses, we have people that lose this, and people are facing that. And he said, days of varying fortune do we give to men and men by turn? So that's what I asked earlier. I said, do you have some receipt? Do you have some coupon? Do you have something in writing that says you shouldn't have to go through what you're going through? Where is that written? No. And it's not even possible. I know I'm being a little, you know, just a little tongue-in-cheek lightly. Because the fact is, God said, hey, look, everybody gets a turn in difficult. فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرِ عُسْرِ يُسْرِ. That's it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was speaking to a group and he drew a picture. He drew a rectangle and he drew a line through the middle of the rectangle and part of it came out of the top. And then he drew cross-hatching lines on that line. And then he said, that symbol, he said, this is man. That symbol, he said, this is man. And let me go ahead and say this since I'm here. My brother, I just got my books from my brother, Dr. Mubashir Uqda, and it says 40 metaphorical hadith with explanations. I'm going to have to get to it. But you should check in and get this. I mention that because this metaphorical, this is an example of a hadith that is metaphorical, where the prophet gave a symbol, he gave an object that was an analogy for the life of man in one picture, just one picture. This is man, right? He said the outside line, he said the line that's going up is man's desires. That's his desire. It goes like this. He said the cross-hatching lines are the trials and tribulation of life, the cross-hatching lines. He said, and the box on the outside is death. He said, if one of these lines doesn't get him, then there's one that won't fail to get him. Then sooner or later, everybody's going to die. You're going to cross that line, right? But your life, which continues after death, with there's the line extending outside the box, there's life after death. But inside the box, that's life that we live right now. The cross-hatching lines, he said, are the tribulations of life. Okay, so what is it saying? If those cross-hatching lines are the tribulation, what are the spaces in between it? What are the spaces in between it? The space in between it are the yusr, the ease. But then right after the ease comes more difficulty. Yusr, cross-hatching line, us, space, yusr. Continuing, us, cross-hatching line, yusr, ease. It's not going to be different. He created the death and the life to try with it. Life is a trial from the beginning to the end. Used to it. And remember this. With the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, all things are good for the believer. Isn't that marvelous? All things are good, meaning that the usri yusr, usri yusr, usri yusr for the believer is all good. He says, when the difficulty happens, right, the us cross-hatching lines, put the two hadith together, right? The cross-hatching line, us difficulty that they're facing, he said they have sabr, and that's good for them. So when you hit that cross-hatching line, maybe you might be there right now, you have sabr. And sabr doesn't mean just sit back and suffer. Sabr means find out what you need to do. Find out sometimes you need to not do anything. Sometimes you need to do something. You just need to figure out what it is that I need to do. Okay. You get Allah's help to help you through that us. And that's sabr. That is sabr. Sabr is not being, quote, unquote, patient, sitting still this way. It'll be over soon. No, it may be something that you're supposed to be doing. And that's sabr. And mashallah, and for a believer, knowing that they have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the help of Allah is always near, then the believer goes on, right? Okay, then when they get past that, they come to yusr. And in that hadith where it says, and when they have good, when they experience goodness, they're grateful, shukr. They're grateful. So usri, sabr. Yusr, shukr. And that, then your whole life is covered with all that goodness. Because for the believer, the whole life is good. And listen, you know, I know that we can all get to those states where we think that, man, ain't nobody suffering what I'm suffering. Ain't nobody going through what I'm going. Ain't nobody been through what I've been through. Hey, come on, that's arrogance. That's arrogance. No. Like, everybody's going through something, and there's nothing that we are suffering that is solvable by the grace of Allah, because Allah can solve it all. Huh? There's a saying I'm looking for something right here. It's a very good thing to know. There's a thing that says, you'll never know that God is all you need until God is all you have. Listen. You'll never know that God is all you need until God is all you have. What does that mean? So it means that, I've got nothing. Remember Moses and helping to water the animals, et cetera, and the dua that he made. His dua suggests to you that he didn't have nothing. I'm willing to receive any good that you'll send. So he was in a situation where he had nothing, nothing good. So, mashallah, then, you know, the rest of the story. So, you never know that God is all you need till God is all you have. So, if you find yourself in a situation where it says, I ain't got nothing. Well, you still have God, right? Okay, if you got God, well, that's all you need. That's all you need. You need to check in with Mary McLeod Bethune. You need to check in with her. she's got a story. She is a paragon of faith for the Belalian scenario as well. Yeah, we respect all of our immediate fraternal heroes and sheroes in our community. But in the Belalian history, you need to check in with Mary McLeod Bethune. She's serious. But here's one more thing, and we're going to go ahead and close with this. This is from someone who's not from Muslim, but a believer in God, right? He said, when I asked God for strength, he gave me difficult situations to face. When I asked God for brain and brawn, he gave me puzzles in life to solve. When I asked God for happiness, he showed me some unhappy people. When I asked God for wealth, he showed me how to work hard. When I asked God for favors, he showed me opportunities to work hard. When I asked God for peace, he showed me how to help others. God gave me nothing that I wanted, but he gave me everything that I needed. So, mashallah, so many verses in the Quran that bear on all of this. Verse in the Quran says, it may be that you love a thing that is bad for you and that you dislike a thing that's good for you. And it may be that you dislike something through which Allah brings about a great deal of good. So, mashallah, you can put whatever label you want on what we had to say today. But that's the nature of life. That's the nature of life. So we pray Allah for our own excellence, meaning that as we strive for it, to be better than we are today. We want to be able to grow into what Allah has created us for. Blog Talk, that's going to have to be on them. We just got to work it out. MashaAllah, we're going to keep on going. Yeah, Surah Al-Hajj. Yeah, the mother dropping her child unborn. That's really, really so unformed. Okay, alhamdulillah. All right, we've been waiting for this live stream. MashaAllah, shukran. Psycho, and also alhamdulillah, Fahim, assalamu alaikum, alhamdulillah. Brother Anthony, ever present, Abdul Haq, alhamdulillah. And alhamdulillah, Al Islam in the United States. And Zarina Sheikh, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, alhamdulillah. Thank you all, God's peace, everybody, have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum, wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. ACU. I will see you, inshallah, tomorrow for our private session. Anyone interested in getting to the private session that we have on A Clear Understanding, then go to aclearunderstanding.org and subscribe, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.